call aboard
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson, and we're going to be starting the show right away, talking about a number of things. And I think Eric is going to be in soon, or we're going to be talking to several people. Wayne Gilman is going to be calling in, and also so is Byron Saunders. So we're going to get right to them today. I think this is Byron probably on right now, so we can go right to him. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Are you there? We're going to be talking, of course, about our favorite topic. Yeah, can you spell Trump? Boy, I'm telling you, what a time. The man has gone absolutely, absolutely crazy. You know, Trump advisors are in constant contact with the Russians, and the Russians are in constant contact with them, and they're hacking, and everything is going on. The Trump aides are in constant, you know, some sort of, what are they doing? They're eliminating people, they're dropping people, they're putting them on, they're not. So is the presidency. You know, it's really very hard to talk about. It's very hard because of the fact that, you know, here we are, we're involved. We live in the most important country in the entire world, and we don't really have an acting president because Donald Trump doesn't know what the heck he's doing, okay? And his advisors are constantly, you know, in contact with him, and we also have learned that, you know, the advisors that he is in contact with, you know, have been meeting with the Russians. Before and
yes.
Even after the election. So,
yes.
I'm
here.
Yeah, Byron Saunders, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, and you're right. The president and all his men are in very big trouble. It's interesting that the Trump would be able to fire the acting attorney general who gave him the information a month ago about Flynn. And he allowed Flynn to stay on up until last night when Flynn turned in his resignation. So he didn't fire Flynn. Flynn resigned. And that's very troubling because the attorney general, the acting attorney general who he fired, gave him this information a month ago. That calls into question the competency of the administration under Trump as president and all the people surrounding him. And I think what we're going to find is very troubling is that that everyone in that administration knew about this over a month ago and that they have been playing obstruction of justice. So it goes very high up to not just treason, but also obstruction of justice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we shall see.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you know,
so
it's really very strange what to say about this.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's happening,
right.
And they seem like all confused. Trump is twittering early in the morning. He twitters something. Everybody gets all mixed up. More people are leaving. You know, this faction. I don't know what to call that. But, you know, it's really, you know, awful because the presidency of the United States, that office alone deserves a lot of respect. We are the largest, country in the world, and we do have, you know, I think wonderful people operating or, you know, in charge of our federal government. But I don't really feel that anyway. It's like a joke, you know. And here Russia even admits to, you know, hacking, you know, with the Russians. So how do we get to this particular point?
I think the Congress itself. Go ahead, Eric. Good evening.
No, I was going to say treasonous actions, but you go ahead and get your thought out.
Well, I was just going to say that with respect to what Congress has to do, because our system has checks and balances, and in spite of what Trump's Mr. Miller, the young guy who comes on, was on the Face the Nation and Meet the Press on Sunday, in spite of what he says, we have a Congress who can put a check and balance on the executive office, and that check and balance must come under investigation because there's inconsistencies now that's being proven, not just fake news, but it's in proof that the CIA and the National Security Agency have shown that they have the goods with respect to tapes and conversations that Flynn and other members of the administration participated in pre-election and pre-inauguration, all the way up until he's finally sworn into office, and that the inconsistencies, and this is where he's going to get in real deep trouble, is that he's been caught lying, and it's on tape now. And so what has to be presented to Congress under their investigatory process is to issue warrants and subpoenas for the arrest of everyone in that administration and bring them to justice, whether they want to or not. We're going to see Congress having to step up its game.
I'm surprised that they haven't stepped up before this, because it's ridiculous. Everybody's sitting on pins and needles, wondering in what direction to go. You know, and it's a joke, right? The United States is the center of a big joke with this man, you know, saying that he is going to be the president. He's in the presidency office. I don't see a president. I have to laugh. It is a comedy. It's like a comedy routine. You know, when you say Trump, you jump. When you say Trump, you just, I don't know. I don't even have anything to say. So many leaks in the intelligence community. The FBI is getting involved with this. Come on.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
I think it's a situation of where if we go back to the timeline of what's happening with Trump but I wanted to say draw a timeline between the time when the Donald Trump was talking about how much he loved Russia and stuff like that. And when the United States was suspecting Russia of being involved in getting involved in trying to affect the outcome of the election. And Trump, I've always said it, Trump sounded like an accomplice who's trying to throw the authorities off the track. And just by him, some of the statements he was making, talking about it could be anybody, could be say something as ridiculous as a 300-pound man or something like that. So it was just interesting. And then fast forward to when he gets elected president and allows what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that the Russian intelligence service took down sanctions in terms of American businesses doing business with the Russian intelligence service, their equivalent to the, I guess, the Secret Service of the CIA. That was then kind of on the DL, so not too many Americans knew about it. But thanks to the reporting of, you know, that some of the stuff on MSNBC and other stuff they talked about. And also you look at when he fired the acting attorney general who refused to enforce his travel ban. This is the same attorney general who alerted him that his NSA chief was, in fact, talking to the Russians before they actually took office. So if you look at it like a timeline, it seems like they're trying to really cover their tracks, and there's more involved with the Trump administration and Russia than they're willing to admit, obviously, and that's going to surprise a lot of people, I think. If you just look at the timeline, stand back and look at the whole picture, it really seems like there's some collusion going on and some treason, in my personal estimation, if the Trump administration, Trump and his people, sided or acted with Russia and Putin to affect the outcome of the election. That's treason.
It is. It is very much high treason, and they're going to get called out on it. I mean, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg at the moment, Eric. And I think what's depressing of now that the media are getting involved, they smell blood in the water, so they're pariahs now. They're going to keep digging and digging and force even the fake news to be sidelined, because there's now so much real news that is being exposed with respect to what the intelligence agencies do know. This is not just conjecture. This is hardcore evidence, and they're going to build a case against all of them. And this is what you got to do. You just, because Trump is more or less a reality TV star, and that's how he plays the game. He's governing like it's a reality TV show. I mean, he was down at Key Largo the other day with the Prime Minister from Japan, and sitting there holding a security briefing at his dinner table, and other people are in there taking photos from their cell phones, and even exposing the gentleman carrying the nuclear codes, having a personal photo with this person. That's a breach of integrity from the highest level.
Okay, and let's get Ray involved here. We got Ray another call. Hold on. Let's get Wayne Goodman involved. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Eric. I'm getting a lot of interference on the line. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great, great. You know, if it becomes a problem on my end, I'll call back. But, I happen to agree with both you and Byron with respect to what's going on. It seems like the Trump administration is imploding at this point. And, I want to remain optimistic, and this is my biased opinion, my myopic opinion, that at some point it's just going to fall apart. But all the signs are there. Everything that what Byron just cited regarding the impromptu weekend get-together in Key Largo and what was exposed then, he has characteristics that are still in play, and it is so, unlike what is considered presidential. And it seems like he can't seem to make that transition. And there's also a lot of speculation, scuttle talk about the integrity of his mental ability. And I think that I don't, you'll probably be the first to say there's something that this is fake news, but I think not every family member is totally sanguine with what is going on in running the country. And when you look at this situation with Michael Flynn the other day, the only thing that I could say is that, there may have been disagreements in any new White House. I know the Obamas probably went through a transition period, but nothing like what the Trumps have gone through in the last month or so. There was so much political infighting, and then there's so much infighting within the Republican Party that, I just don't see how this administration is going to be capable of sustaining itself when every day they're putting out another fire.
It's a comedy. That's all. It's a comedy. It's a stand-up comedy. Isn't that no one is running this country? And what's going to be happening? This is absolutely insane for a Trump to think that he could actually run the country and not even know what the heck he's doing. So what's going to happen now? What has to happen? You have to, change the guy who was elected in the presidency. And was he really elected? Was he? What's wrong with the United States of America?
Yeah, things are happening on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting here. Yeah, honestly.
I mean, if we look back last week, the story was everybody was upset. Donald Trump was upset. A lot of his supporters were upset, making a big deal about Nordstrom dropping his daughter's clothing line. And I suppose the issue behind that was, the idea, the notion that she was a private citizen. And to get back at him, Nordstrom couldn't possibly be making a business decision, but they were making a political decision and getting back at Trump through his daughter Ivanka. With the notion that she's not a part of the administration. Fast forward to this week, just Monday, when the Canadian Prime Minister is in town, and she's sitting in on a meeting
with Trump and the Canadian Prime Minister and other women business leaders about women's issues as a representative of the Trump administration. So which is it? I mean, the people have the right to protest Trump and to use their economic power to protest his policies and his administration's policies and issues. And if his daughter's a part of that administration, then they have a right to take it out on her. But they tried to act like she wasn't involved in the administration. And there, fast forward to this week, she's sitting up in a meeting with the prime minister. So this guy has things going on daily that are issues that are small and big. The majority of them, unfortunately, border on like huge issues that could potentially put our country in a grave danger and certainly a bad situation. And it's just unbelievable that all this stuff that they were talking about Hillary Clinton and the whole issue of the emails was exactly the security issue. And here his NSA guy is here discussing issues with the Russian, acting as almost a Russian agent.
We have no serious government right now. We really don't. Because if you look at the mess that is going on, what they're having meetings at a table with a whole lot of people discussing main issues, you know, really very, very serious issues. And you don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. Trump doesn't know what's going on. So what has to happen? How do you clean something up like this up? How do you straighten out the federal government at this particular point? You don't? Then what? Who steps in there? Is there an interim what? A person steps in the presidency?
The 25th Amendment is the action that Congress has as constitutional action to address some of the concerns that you've just brought up, Kay. Now, mm-hmm. Yes, the Congress itself in both houses is overwhelmingly Republican. However, as long as this effort as you're hearing impeachment being spoken more and more now, treason is being spoken more and more. And with respect to Congress and the Republican-led share of it, you have a committee chair of the ethics who doesn't want to start investigating other Republicans. Paul, you know, you have this notion that there's nothing going on wrong. However, Democrats are in the conference halls as we speak, convincing other Republicans that it's time to engage in a full congressional investigation on the administration, not just Flynn, but the entire administration. And this is what has to happen.
It was time to stop that a long time ago. I mean, this is a joke.
Well, yes.
And we don't really have a federal government in place right now, okay? So I wish a lot of people would get off their behinds, you know, and really start, you know, calling and doing some sort of movement to get him the heck on out of there. Because look, this makes the country look bad. Everything is at a standstill. Here we are waiting to see the latest in the comedy show.
Right.
I'm sorry, but, you know, well, who was it that they finally let go? Kellyanne? Is that her name?
Kellyanne Conway, yes.
Is she still around? What did she do the other day? You know, she told the advertisement for Ivanka. You know, her clothes.
Right.
She made a joke out of it. You know?
Yeah. That being the issue of obviously not supposed to be advertising and using the office of the presidency in any administration level thing. But it's a thing on a daily basis. I think personally what they're trying to do is run out the clock in terms of appointing people that are going to be able to cover up their mess from an intelligence standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's happening with Michael Flynn being busted as contacting the Russian ambassador before they were supposed to, and it eventually is going to be found out, of course, that Trump was aware of that. There's no reason why he wouldn't be aware of it. And it's just, I think, a matter of time before he could replace Flynn with somebody and with enough people in place in the various levels of the intelligence industry to cover up any evidence like that. I mean, anytime, you know, you have the acting head of the acting attorney general comes to him and tells him about Flynn, and then she ends up getting fired for allegedly another reason. And you have Jeff Sessions now as the attorney general, who said he wouldn't recuse himself from any issues that come up involving the Trump administration because he was a spokesperson. He was part of the campaign. So theoretically, he should recuse himself when they're discussing or any charges are brought up against the campaign. But they said that Sessions has already said he wouldn't recuse himself in matters in which involving the Trump campaign. So that means he'd be judging and determining things and deciding issues in a case that he's directly involved in, which is, you know, this administration, this Trump presidency, unfortunately, is just has no regard for any type of rules or regulations, and it's just a matter of if the Republicans are going to let them skate by, or, you know, you already hear a couple of the guys talk about, you know, there's no need for a special committee or a special session to look into it. They're trying to downplay it, but this is clearly a power grab, and judging from the member of his staff the other day talking about the office of the president won't be questioned, these guys are on some severe, very severe power trip, I would say, to say the least. What do you think, Wayne?
No, I happen to agree. I mean, the thing is that, you know, it is so convoluted, and each scandal just seems to, you know, get, it just shows the vulnerability of the White House. I don't feel secure when I sleep at night. I mean, it has nothing to do with party affiliation or my political beliefs. You know, I didn't feel this way when George H.W. Bush was president. I didn't feel this way when Ronald Reagan was president. I didn't even feel this way when George W. Bush, you know, a well-known alcoholic, somebody who was addicted to alcohol, as bad as things were then, I still didn't feel the way I feel now. I am totally uncomfortable. I am afraid to travel. I have family that's outside the United States, and they have to go come back and forth, and anywhere could be a hot spot, you know?
Yeah.
And with regard to what you said about Michael Flynn a moment ago, what I find so disingenuous, he fired the man earlier today, and then he turns around at a news conference or a news briefing and praises him and blames the press, again, what he calls and refers to as the fake news, for having given him a hard time. And the same thing, you know, if he was that bad, why is it that you fired him? There must have been some justification for it. You know, you just don't willfully fire somebody without having some reason for it, and then you appraise them. And then his pick for labor secretary, I'm so glad that he saw the handwriting on the wall. I don't know how many times they replayed that segment with Oprah and his ex-wife talking about, you know, his integrity of his character and all that. And, you know, these guys are wedded to a corporate understanding about life. And I just feel that, you know, unless you're willing to alter what this country was founded on, they need to just pack up the bags and clear out of Dodge. That's how I feel, you know. And I think, again, I don't want to sound repetitive, but I just think it's a matter of time.
Listen, this is a comedy. We are watching, and we are all involved in a comedy, okay? But because I don't believe that anybody can take themselves seriously listening to the Trump thing, okay, because it's absolutely ridiculous. He actually is not there. There's something wrong with him. Wrong.
Well, they
meaning
would say that, Kate.
Government works. He does not know how government works. Well, but he's not even holding meetings. He's tweeting in the morning. Who's going to believe that? Mm-hmm. No one takes it seriously. I think I wake up and I'm ready for the best laugh of the day. It doesn't really make sense. And it makes you angry, too. You know, absolutely angry. I don't know what to do.
Right.
I've read that the intelligence gathering agencies, both the CIA and the National Security Agency, operatives are now, and this has been leaked out from their agency, that they're now withholding information from the administration because they fear that they would compromise not only the intelligence community, but at this point, as a result of the Trump's attack on NCR, as well as the CIA, he is he's like in a battle with them. So one of the things that will happen is that because the intelligence agencies do operate almost outside of the checks and balances system. And when you brought up Papa Bush, and we really have to go back and look at the history of what happened with the Gore election, and all the way back to Reagan Bush. Bush was head of CIA, who became vice president, who became president, and the black ops operations for which he engaged in, including the stealing of the election of Gore Bush, he stole that election, was a CIA black box, black bag, typical black ops operation that the CIA had been engaging in third world nations. They did it. They ran it. They secured the election for George Bush. Then you can go back to Bush's administration, weapons of mass destruction. So the lies and the deceit of the GOP is not just something brand new. And we have got to take a look at the timeline and the thread that has been sewing all of this together so that when you come to the playbook, it is exactly the same kind of operation that Bush did for his son during the Bush-Reagan, Bush-Bush years as well. Now, the difference,
well, you know, Byron,
the major difference is this. The major difference is this. The Trump administration does not have a senior operative like Daddy Bush. He's not there. And so they're failing at covering their own, about covering their butts, they're failing at covering their butts because they don't know how this thing works.
Byron, I just wanted to respond to what you were just saying. I mean, I understand, you know, your point about the whole issue of George W.'s back espionage and all that. And I remember back in 2000 when we were covering the election. That was speculation, you know, that was, it was certainly a red meat topic. But, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to look at the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, the decision that was made there, and the fact that Al Gore did not stand up, and I'm sorry, I'm a flag-waving Democrat, but I was so disappointed that, you know, that he did not stand up to fight what was going on in Florida because it was so apparent. And there's something that has to be said about that. And I also feel that something needs to be done with the Electoral College system. But I understand, you know, it's been documented with what you're saying to a certain extent. But I also feel that the Democrats need at times when they're faced with challenges like that, and that vote was a heck of a lot closer than what Trump sailed into the White House with.
Yeah, but the whole thing with Gore Bush, you say Al Gore kind of gave in too quickly. The Supreme Court was stocked with the majority, at least two nominees. That two justices that George Bush, Big George, nominated. So it's no wonder that decided their decision came down on behalf of George W. Bush to stop the count back then. So, I mean, Al Gore probably wasn't, I mean, maybe he did give up too soon, but, I mean, what was going to be the alternative to go against the Supreme Court, I suppose? I don't know.
Well, I said that he gave in too quickly, and I agree because he had Dr. Weir was still alive then. You had Uncle Clarence Thomas. You had what's his name, Williams, who was appointed by Bush Daddy. And it was before it became more balanced. But even at that, there was enough evidence of improprieties going on in Florida with that entire vote. You know, and just the fact that people's lives were threatened. Remember, we nearly lost Jesse Jackson in that contest because he stood at a protest site and some white supremacist organization was about to kill him. You know, all these things went on. It was a close contest, and I still maintain that that was a deciding factor. And yes, but there are some well-intended Republicans who clearly see. I'm not a big Lindsey Graham fan, and I happen to like John McCain, but, you know, I think that they get it. They are now calling for an investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, for the most part, their party has become the party of, to me, of prejudice and racism.
Yeah.
Talking about, touching again on the point Byron made about the coup kind of with Trump and those guys being similar to what Bush and them pulled off, I think the difference is that Trump was kind of backed into it. And I don't think he meant to win. I think that as you stand back and look at it now, it seems as though the perfect storm was created for him to squeak in and win like that.
Mm-hmm.
With the situation with Hillary, with the situation with the email, obviously now what we know with the Russian government working and spreading that false news and Comey releasing that information when he did, those are all issues that worked against her. And now, obviously, he's trying to cover up the crime. And this is something that's just as far as the Bushes and how they kind of operated the last two elections, yeah, this is something that's coming back to bite them in the ass, excuse my language, that, you know, Jeb didn't get in. But it's also coming back to try to bite the Republican party in the butt, because it's revealing them really to be a party of prejudice and racism, and wanting to keep the United States back in the old kind of white first-class citizenship kind of perspective. And that's come out clearly now. If you look at how when a black president got elected, you had these senators conspiring not to work with him. And when the black man left office, you had people conspiring to undo some of the things that he had put in place. It's really very interesting in how they've done, at least willing to have their racism overcome their patriotism almost and align themselves with what was supposed to be our enemy, our mortal enemy, you know?
But listen, you know, I have a solution, really, because we have a comedy. There is a comedy running in, you know, the United States of America, okay? And my solution is Oprah Winfrey, okay? Let's all have a movement, you know, to have Oprah Winfrey become the president of the United States, okay? To me, that makes more sense than having a Trump in the situation that he's in, because it's not the presidency. It's a joke, really.
Okay.
The other disturbing thing that's going on, Kay and Eric and Wayne, is the fact that the president and his administration are not equipped or competent enough to handle multiple issues. They are singular, and that's where they make their points and address singular moments. And what I mean by that is that we got the dam in California, the infrastructure breaking there. We have New Orleans, the tornado that ripped through there. We got the gun issue in Chicago, and all these promises that Trump made prior to and after the election that he was going to be the great fixer has yet to address any of the real major social issues that are going on, because he's stuck on national security. He is stuck on Netanyahu, who and comes out today saying that he's in favor of a one-state solution, knowing that that's against the United Nations and their vote, and they're trying to establish a two-state solution with Palestine and Israel coexisting in two identical operative states. And yet here we are in our own country. We got people who are suffering and can't get the official support from the administration with respect to the dam that's faltering in in California, the buildup of New Orleans after the tornado, the gun incidents in Chicago. I mean, there are things happening all across this country that they are not addressing.
Yeah, that's because they're too busy messing up all the other stuff, you know? I mean,
yes.
They're too busy reversing, trying to reverse everything Obama put into place. I think I've heard them talk a little bit about infrastructure spending, which is a Democratic thing, but, you know, the Trump administration, very few of the, even the deputies in a lot of the cabinets have been confirmed, I believe. So, I think what's going to happen is going to find out that this guy's committed, has walked up to the border, to the edge of the line of doing treasonous acts. And I think it's just a matter of time, a race right now, whether he could, him and his people, can infiltrate enough tentacles of the government. You see, he's having a battle now with the intelligence agencies, whether he can get some of his people in there that are going to be willing to play ball with him and help him to compromise some of that information. I truly do. And like you said earlier, I think it was Byron at the intelligence agency. You know, they're battling with him, and obviously he's come out insulting them in their job, which is his tactic, clearly, to insult everybody that disagrees with him, even in a slight manner. And so I think that it's a matter of a cat and mouse, you know, whether they can gather enough information against him before he can get people in there that would compromise that information.
Yeah, we've been waiting until next year sometime. And I'm really very serious about a woman president now. You know, I'm really very serious about the possibility of Oprah Winfrey running for the presidency. Look at the vast organization that she has already. She did this herself, and she's a very wealthy woman. So I'm all for Oprah. It's a brand new thought. The men in charge that have been in charge for, you know, years, it's time for a woman who has proven herself, you know, to run for the presidency of the United States. Okay? That's my opinion. And so all of a sudden I'm saying, yeah, this is really in the realm of possibility. Why not? She may not want it, but the point is I'm quite sure she could do a better job than what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right. I'm in favor of a woman being president, and I love Oprah. However, one of the things that is being revealed, Kay, with all due respect to Oprah as a potential replacement, is that it takes a understanding of how the federal government does work. You have career professionals. You have career professionals who are in the
Byron.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You don't think that Oprah can learn how the federal government works? Are you kidding me?
Well, no, I'm not saying that she doesn't know how the federal government works, but I am saying this.
The vast empire that
I am saying.
Wait a minute. That woman would be a fantastic president. And I am not kidding. She may not want it, but I'm not kidding. She has a vast, vast operation. Are you kidding? And it's all together.
Well,
the taxes are...
well, it is. And it's succeeding beyond the expectations. Yes. And I agree with you. What I am saying, though, is that one of the failures of the Trump administration is to understand there are career professionals who are in the offices of all of the federal agencies that are not trying to be the secretary. They are there because they are career professionals, and you have to trust those individuals who have been in those positions for some time. It's like the State Department. What's-his-face gets the – Tillerson gets to be the State Department head, but he has to go in and work with – the replacing the career professionals who resign. So you don't have an administration who understands the you got to work with the agency, the federal government. And by putting a freeze on hiring, where are these people going to come from who are going to be able to be the undersecretary, to be the department heads? Because you're freezing the federal agencies that need employees. So that's where the dysfunction is happening from top to bottom and bottom to top.
Yeah, that's how it's so bad. I just wanted to say real quick, that's how they sold that whole bill of goods about the government being too big and they need to get out these professional bureaucrats and all these people. But the whole notion that there is not a structural know-how to doing the job of government, of making the government work, is ridiculous, like any other job. And they've been able to sell that notion to the flyover, and people don't really understand how government works and thinks it's just anybody can run for office and just jump up there like Ben Carson, you know, he's a surgeon. So he's just going to jump up and run for president, whatever he says. And the guy knows nothing about foreign policy and issues that are necessary and germane to running the government. That point is exactly right that you're making, Byron. And it's just interesting how the Republicans have been able to sell that to their rank and file, their base. And also, it's interesting how it coincides with the intelligence level, I think, of their base. Not really understanding government, the average person, at least the base Trump supporter, you know, being a non-college educated white male, it kind of goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You going to say, Wayne?
No, I happen to agree with Byron. I think the whole issue is that, the dysfunction with the Trump administration so far is that he promoted an agenda that corporate culture could easily transition itself into the Washington machine. And, again, I'm not saying that Oprah Winfrey wouldn't have the aptitude. She's a quick study. She'd learn fast. But we don't need enough. I think all successful corporate icons follow the same script to a certain extent. She runs her business no different than any other successful individual. She would not have gotten to where she is had she not been. But Byron is absolutely right. There are people who are just firmly about the function of the government. There are career people who are part of the whole checks and balance process that makes the United States government function as a democracy. Very often, those very same career people are immune to being fired. That's why this country is still great, because if once it gets to the point where there'll be a call for an impeachment, this is what I'm saying, those people will still be in place. There are people that maybe Trump would love to get rid of, but he can't touch them. And, the deal is, I just think it's a matter of time. And I think his party, with all that we cited about how racist the leaders, how misogynistic they can be, and I'm not saying all Republicans are like that, but I just firmly believe there is going to come a time when this country is going to be on the precipice of imploding, and when that happens, I believe impeachment proceedings will begin. That's just my wish.
Wayne, I'm here in amazement because of the fact that I hear you speaking. You know, I'm serious about a woman president in the United States. Why don't, as a member, as a possible?
It's a hypothetical.
Yes,
I'm with you, Kay. I think we need a woman president. Anyone but my sisters,
Hypothetical.
Yeah,
talking
sure.
About...
It's all that,
right.
But it's a possibility. It is a possibility.
Yeah,
I'm amazed that you guys, just get, this idea, you're just throwing it away because of a woman. You can't possibly fathom a woman being the head of the United States of America, can you?
Wait a minute. I said from the very beginning that she has the aptitude of which, I think she's a quick study. But I also feel there's a difference between running a corporation and running this country. And I think Byron illustrated that, in terms of what the whole career federal worker is all about with respect to, running the various departments. And they're trying to bring about a corporate culture, political environment, and the two are not mixing. And that's why they're imploding now.
Right.
And the real reason they're imploding is because Wall Street is a for-profit industry. It works off of stocks and bonds, and the corporate shareholders get pieces of that. And no matter how you shake and bake it, the federal government is a not-for-profit entity, and it does not run off of the same concepts. And when you try to bring that concept to the level of the federal government, it is doomed to failure.
Well, yeah.
I
was going to say the federal government is supposed to regulate all that. I mean, they're trying to make it as much a corporate entity as possible. That's why, you know, that's why those guys always want to get in and deregulate everything, so everybody could just make as much money without regard to what are going to be the consequences of them making money, and how these people produce their products and what it does to what the residual effect is. So it kind of is, you know, the capitalist and kind of the democracy, obviously, interestingly enough, kind of conflict with each other, contrast with each other in terms of the prospect of it. I mean, you have capitalism, which is there to society, which is supposed to be making money and based on a capitalist society. Then you have the democracy, the democratic element, which has a certain amount of moral integrity, or a moral code in there, being that our society is supposed to be based on Christian values. You know, that's where I guess the moral aspect comes in. So if you can help, if the greater society can help the individual, certain individuals that need help, then it becomes contingent upon, if we're going by that belief system, contingent upon the society to help individuals, right? I mean, that's kind of this semi...
Well, the construct of the federal government, Eric, is that and you'll ask any legislator, they will tell you, if you collect taxes, you can spend the money that you collect. If you don't have enough money, the government operates, every agency operates what is known as a zero-based budgeting. It means it by law cannot spend more than it collects. And that's what legislatures will tell you. Now, we know for a fact that they do that. They run deficits. So it's a game. It's a shell game, how they play the deficit game, so that we understand but know this. It takes a constitutional genius, like President Obama was, to say to the Congress, you want to shut down the country, come ahead and do it. Because the article in the Constitution says that if you're not doing your job, I can actually suspend you. I can suspend your activities and take over. Now, you want to play a game of political chicken? Do it. And that's what he said to the Congress. And the Congress, each time they tried to pull that game, stepped to the line and pulled back, because they knew constitutionally they could not defeat the president and his initiatives. So that's how this game is played.
Yeah. The difference is Obama knew to do that on his own, of his own volition. I'm certain Donald Trump doesn't even know that.
Yes. He's shown that he doesn't know the Constitution and how it's working by the action that he's already taken within the first 30 days.
Exactly.
And the people around him don't know. Because what's your legal counsel supposed to be doing and in telling you that when you're going to write that immigration mandate that you have as an executive order, don't throw up some crap because it's going to get shot down by the circuit justices. They already know this. But they didn't follow the playbook.
Well, that presupposes someone who understands how government works, right? I mean, obviously this guy signed all these executive orders, you know, because they saw Obama doing it and heard it on the press. Everybody talk about executive orders. It was in the news at one time. So I guess his level of intelligence as far as matters of politics and things like that, maybe it might be a little bit more in-depth than the average citizen, but not by much. And so, he doesn't even understand the legislative process of drafting legislation and trying to push legislation and get sponsorship and people behind them and building some support on the Hill. He doesn't even understand how government works from that perspective. You know, I mean, Obama didn't really start using executive orders until he couldn't get any support and couldn't get any compromise from the Republicans. But Trump
exactly
became a catchphrase. Everybody's talking about all these executive orders that Obama was writing, which was nowhere near as much as everybody else, first off. Secondly, Trump, like every other idiot out there that doesn't really understand in-depth policy and politics, just what they read the headlines in the news, you know, he thinks that governing is writing and signing those executive orders he's been doing for the last 2 weeks. You know, so
and
of course
Eric,
he doesn't understand.
What's really sad, Eric, is that that's the way it's been going on in the state houses as well, because you've got governors and assemblymen and state senators who do not know how to govern. They think it's run that same way. They got what is that organization the Koch brothers have, where they go out and actually write the legislation and then hand it to the senators and the assemblymen to engage in the well of their state capitals? That's what's going on. They're not actually governing. They're taking their orders from special lobbyists. This
lobbyists,
is what the problem is in our country.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're called Alex.
Yes, Alex. And they're actually writing the legislature and just giving it to them so that all they got to do is just go to the well and read it exactly how it was given to them. That's not democracy.
Exactly.
Well,
and what's going
if
on?
They got rid of all the lobbyists in Washington, I'm certain the real estate market would certainly have a hole in it.
Right. Well, that's just not lobbyists.
One of the things is,
clearly it's the state houses, right? I mean, and what's happening is
exactly
the conservative movement, they've brilliantly, from an evil genius perspective, have learned that they're controlling all the state legislatures, the majority of state legislatures across the country. And a lot of the legislation coming to the higher chambers and moving up to the federal level is coming out of the state level. You know, the whole voter ID laws things, North Carolina, Texas, those are places that this stuff came in. And also, on top of it being Alec, you got a lot of
part of
the people in here who decided to run for state offices.
Of the lobbyists, it's part of the gridlock on Capitol Hill is the legislators themselves are being bought and paid for by lobbyists. And therefore, when it comes to the vote, they're going where the money has been paid, and they're lining their pockets so that they can go ahead and protect the lobbyists, not the citizens.
Yeah, that's how Betsy DeVos got in, right? I mean, the majority of the senators that voted for her, her or her family or organization related to her has given them money to. So, you know, I mean, in the final analysis, that's what it really comes down to.
Yep.
I still say that I'm for Oprah for the presidency, if she wants it.
I will vote for her, okay.
You would vote? I would talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, but I'm serious. I am very serious. And somebody, please tell Oprah Winfrey that Kay Thompson from Kay Thompson Live thinks that she should run for the presidency of the United States, and I am not kidding.
We heard it here first.
I'm not kidding. You guys think it's funny. It's not funny. This is serious. Look what you did. We gave birth to you all.
Yeah.
Hello. Yep. There you go.
Well, I think Oprah has changed the landscape of American society with her, you know, shows, and she's done a lot to really, you know, put black folks on the map in terms of our culture. And I understand exactly the spirit that Kay means to seek her as somebody who would seek elective office. But, again, you know, I still think that there's a need to find some political scientist within our community, a female, you know, even if it's Michelle Obama, and she's already said that she doesn't want it, you know, I would be down to support someone like that.
Yeah, and speaking of Oprah, I saw recently that she's going to be joining 60 Minutes.
Right.
The 60 Minutes show. So that's one of the... I guess from a news perspective and a news format perspective on network TV, that's about as good as you can get one of the last respectable.
Oh, I don't
one thing, Eric, one thing we do know about Oprah, and that is her show played the conflict of interest that the Labor Department Secretary's wife, embattled divorcee, told that he did not pay the taxes, and that was all done on Oprah's show. So Oprah already has impact, okay, on the federal government. So you have a point. That's worth taking.
Impact for a long period of time, many, many, many years. She's proven herself. She doesn't really have to prove anything. She is a businesswoman, all right? And she is popular, and she is fair, and she can run a business, all right? Check out the numbers of her businesses, you know, is or are worth, okay? So that's a possibility, but she probably wouldn't like it or go for it or want it. But I think she should, she would make a fantastic president of the United States of America. Bingo. Hit out.
Okay. All right.
Well, we're coming down to the end of the show on that note. This is Black History Month.
I'm afraid to say anything.
You have a moment of Black history that you would like to impart on the people, Byron?
Absolutely. February 14, 1817, the date, the birth of Frederick Douglass, okay? Even though Trump doesn't know him, Frederick Douglass was born on February 14, 1817, and died, President Trump, in 1895 in Washington, D.C., He was an outspoken abolitionist, freedom fighter, and he was also served in government positions, including U.S. Minister to Haiti. So there you have it, our Frederick Douglass, an African-American hero.
Thanks for that information.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yep. Once again, it's coming to that time. I want to thank our resident guest, Byron Saunders. Byron, thanks again for the history lesson, as usual, and the conversation and perspective about all that's going on in the news here as we continue to keep watch and stay woke for the peoples. Stay woke. Thank you, Brother Byron.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you, Kate, Eric, and Wayne.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wayne. Byron?
Okay.
Wayne Gilman, a legendary newsman. Once again, it's been real at this time.
Thank you.
For lending
Always a pleasure.
Your perspective. Thank you, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Good night, sir.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye now. And you can listen to the Kay Thompson Live Show every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m., live on the blogtalkradio.com/KayThompsonLive. That's the direct link to the website. Every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m., the show is live. And you could also listen to the archived episodes of the show at any time you want at your leisure. Once again, this is the Kay Thompson Live Show. And the person that's normally known as the son, also known as Eric Payne, and you are...
I'm Kay Thompson Payne, and I'm the mother of Eric Payne, my wonderful, gorgeous, handsome son.
All right. All righty then. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.